commas are very versatile. They can separate words, phrases, and even clauses. They can go between an introductory phrase and the rest of a sentence. They even work within other units, like city-state combinations and dates. But there's one thing commas can't do. They can't be used as glue to attach together any two things you feel like attaching, especially if those two things happen to be independent clauses, groups of words that could stand alone as sentences. Take, for example, the following sentence. Emily isn't just a singer and songwriter, comma, she's also a very accomplished dancer. That comma is a mistake. It reflects a common misperception about commas. The idea that, because they're often used to indicate a pause, they can join any two things that have a pause between them. And when the two things you're trying to join with a comma are complete clauses that could stand on their own as sentences, you're committing an error so iconic that it has a famous name, the comma splice. The word splice means to connect, and it harkens back to a time when film editors didn't have computers to piece together bits of footage. Instead, they took physical rolls of film, cut out what they wanted cut out, and put the two end pieces into a machine that physically bonded them together. This process was called splicing. Obviously, this wasn't a bad thing, but comma splices are bad because that's just not a job commas can normally do. At least not these days. Back in the 1800s, before the rules of punctuation had solidified, you would often see published writing that used commas this way. But that's not okay today. I should note at this point that I'm talking about in most standard writing situations. If you're doing experimental or stream of consciousness or other highly creative stuff, well, then you're ignoring rules anyway. So of course you can play with commas when you're not playing by the rules. But the rest of the time you should find other ways to punctuate independent clauses. The most straightforward way to do it is, of course, with a period. That's a period's job, after all, to indicate the end of a sentence. So in our previous example, Emily isn't just a singer and songwriter, comma, she's also a very accomplished dancer. We would just replace the comma with a period, and then begin the next word with a capital letter. Emily isn't just a singer and songwriter, period. She's also a very accomplished dancer. Semicolons can do this job too, but remember that the whole point of a semicolon is to show a closeness of a relationship between two clauses, which of course means they're close relative to their relationships to other sentences in the passage. So if your paragraph only has two clauses, Emily isn't just a singer and songwriter, she's also a very accomplished dancer, the fact that they're in a paragraph by themselves already indicates that they're closer cousins than they are with any other sentence around. So a semicolon here makes no sense. Plus, semicolons tend to make a sentence look rather long and rambling and hard to digest. So they're usually an inferior choice to periods in a situation like this. Commas can go between independent clauses when there's also a conjunction between the clauses, especially if that conjunction is and. For example, I know you want to see that movie, comma, and I believe it's playing this weekend. This use of a comma is okay. It doesn't count as a comma splice because the comma isn't being used as the connective tissue between the clauses. The word and is what's actually connecting the clauses. So just remember that the comma, though powerful, isn't all powerful. It can't do what the word and can do between whole clauses. And when you try to use it that way, you're committing the error known as the comma splice.